The Perimeter with Adam Morrison is proudly presented by Owens Farms Piedmontese.
Let me share a local Spokane secret that everyone needs to know about. Owens Farms Piedmontese beef. Trust me when I say this. You cannot beat this meat. It's tender. It's flavorful. It's some of the best beef you'll ever put into your mouth, period. And to top it off, when you eat it, you can say goodbye to the meat hangovers. That's because Piedmontese beef is lean and has much less cholesterol than your typical supermarket beef. It's a new year. It's time to start living your life with no regrets. Go to ofp.farm to reserve your half or whole order of premium Piedmontese beef today. Go to ofp.farm. The Perimeter with Adam Morrison is produced independently and locally in Spokane, Washington by Spokecast Studios. Our city, our stories. Visit www.spokecast.com to learn more about how you can start your very own podcast today. Do you love beer and helping support our local community? Then you need to check out Golden Handle Brewing. It's Spokane's first social purpose brewery dedicated to brewing delicious beer and supporting the people and organizations that make Spokane a better place. Lots of places donate a little bit of their revenue to community organizations, and that's a great thing. But at Golden Handle, we do it every single day. Each month, we pick a different community nonprofit and then donate $1 of every Golden Handle pint we sell for the entire month to that cause. Then the next month, we do it all again. So cheers to the Bulldogs and cheers to a more resilient community. Mention that the Perimeter with Adam Morrison sent you and get a free Perimeter sticker when you order any Golden Handle beer. Visit us at the Old Steel Barrel Taproom on the west end of downtown Spokane at 154 South Madison Street, Thursday through Monday, 3 p.m. to 9 p.m.
The Perimeter with Adam Morrison is brought to you in sponsorship with Delicious Hamburgers. Did you know Delicious Hamburgers and fries are the freshest in Spokane? Their hamburgers are never frozen, and that's because it tastes better. There's not even a freezer in the restaurant. Their fries are always made to order and never set under a heat lamp. It's differences like this you can truly taste. Next time you're craving the freshest hamburgers and fries, head to the corner of Augusta and Division and ask for the Perimeter Combo, a triple delicious hamburger with grilled onions, pickles, and special sauce. It also comes with fries and your choice of a milkshake. Delicious. Taste the difference.
Let's do it again.
Perimeter Season 2 Final Week, sponsored by Owens Farms Piedmontese. Brendan, the producer, helped me out. Great season. We're going to recap it a little bit and recap the NCAA tournament. UCLA game was pretty cool.
Yeah, the UCLA game was great. It was a whirlwind of emotions.
Yeah.
And I was sitting in my living room watching it with my brother, and for lack of better terms, just having flashbacks of of your season. And I was just like, but it was just amazing. It was such a cool game. It was such a, this makes the next game so disappointing.
Yeah. No, it was obviously a fantastic season. That was a memorable game. It was, I mean, that's the third time in a row we've beaten them twice in the NCAA tournament. And those two NCAA tournament games were all-time classics, and then, you know, mine was too. So like three out of the last four, as we beat them in 2015, people keep forgetting that game.
Yeah.
Were all-time classic games for television. So yeah, it was a fun season. I think the tenor of this season was what if, or where are we going to end up type of deal at the start of the year, because we had a lot of guys that were new to prominent positions, you know, minute wise and importance on the floor. Nolan Hickman played last year, didn't play a ton. Obviously, he had Andrew Nembhard, he was playing behind. Who else? Julian Strother had to make a jump. He was great last year, he was great this year, but how big of a jump is he going to make? Obviously, Drew Timmy, we knew that for the most part was going to be great, but sometimes you never know. Like, obviously, And then, you know, guys like Hunter and then Malachi Smith, we had no clue. We knew he was a great scorer at Chattanooga, but you know, how is he going to fit in? Same thing kind of with Rashear Bolton was great last year, but it's also like, well, he was playing off of Andrew Nembhard. Now the responsibilities, ball handling is going to be a little bit more and more emphasis on scoring. We had no idea what Ben Gregg was going to give us. And then Anton Watson was primarily a come off the bench guy. And then he was inserted in the starting role. So we didn't know how he was going to react. He too had a fantastic season. I think the best season out of everybody as far as jump and improvement. But you know, we started the season with a really daunting non-conference schedule, which we have to do. And I never understand why people are surprised by it, or like if we lose some of those games, get upset. It's like, well, we have to play these tough games early to build up our KenPom and RPI or whatever. And you might lose those.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Especially with the younger team. You know, the game on the aircraft carrier was a weird one. We beat Michigan State. They ended up having a really good run in the NCAA tournament. So that's a really good win. Kentucky ended up kind of getting their act together in the back half of the season, had a good run as well, even though they got, you know what I'm saying, like had a good season.
Yeah.
Where it ended up being a really good win for us. You know, take away the Purdue debacle, they were probably one of the favorites going in to win it, right? So that was a understandable loss. Texas gets to an Elite Eight, right?
Yeah.
They get to Elite Eight, right? So,
yeah.
And we play them on the road. So, like, some of these losses early, and we talked about it, if people are listening, you know, we're like, well, you've already talked about this earlier. Well, we're kind of obviously recapping, but we talked about like, hey, these are games that we can win, but if we do lose them, it's not a surprise because we were, you know, guys were filling out roles that they weren't quite used to beforehand. So I was really impressed with our growth throughout the entire season. We continued to make an upward trajectory, which was encouraging because sometimes if you get in games or rut's not the right word, but like where you're not as successful as you used to be in the non-conference, that can snowball and you know, affect guys' confidence and stuff. But our coaching staff did an excellent job of getting these guys on the right track and getting them you know, ready to play good solid basketball throughout the season. But you know, I thought our non-conference was a lot of learning curves, a lot of, you know, guys growing into, growing into to roles and stuff like that. So, you know, I was pleasantly surprised by some of the guys' jumps from this compared to the start of the season to the end. Nolan Hickman was a turnover machine early on. And I think that was just, he was trying to make too many plays. It wasn't like, I don't say that in a negative way. It was just the reality is what I'm trying to get at. He really improved on taking care of the basketball as the season progressed and really got us to a spot where he's going to come down and make good decisions and have the flow of the game under his control. And then, you know, obviously Anton, I think, had the best improvement season overall. Scored the basketball well, looked really athletic, bouncy, shot it better from three than I think a lot of people expected. You know, did all the dirty work that he normally does, but he just did it with more pep in his step. And it was nice to see, you know, then obviously Drew had a historic season. We could talk about that. We've talked about it a lot and it's not a knock, but it's like everybody, Drew's one of the all-time greats. And, you know, he had an all-time great season. He backed it up and that's hard to do. You know, I think going into my sophomore year, I think I averaged 19. So then going into my junior year, there was a lot of, this kid could be an All-American, blah, blah, you know what I'm saying? So, like, it's harder than you think to, like, try to live up to it, you know, because everybody's got you scouted and know what you can do. And there's a lot of pressure to, you know, put up numbers and be efficient and still be, you know, kind of your own player too. So I thought Drew did a fantastic job of that. So, yeah, I mean, I thought as a totality, this is a great season, 31-6, Elite Eight, 8 straight Sweet 16. So again, I'm going to say it, like, I don't know where everybody gets the, they don't win in March thing. I just don't understand where that comes from. It's like, Or then they're like, they need to play in a bigger conference. It's like, well, we're beating the teams that are in the bigger conference. Like the Big Ten hasn't won a national championship in years. I don't think they've been to a Final Four in a long time. And so what does that prove?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I just don't understand where that always comes in as a valid argument.
I think the outside influence of Twitter and other people talking about Gonzaga that aren't Gonzaga fans, it creeps into the minds of Gonzaga fans. Yeah, and then like, and then they start repeating things. Cause I started seeing things repeated a lot over the tournament. Like, cause like a lot of, a lot of the media wants to call Gonzaga a blue blood program, which I think is rightfully so. I mean, they've been in the tournament for however
23 years.
And like, yeah, they haven't won a national championship yet.
But we went to two national championship games. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, keep going. Sorry.
Yeah, no, it's just, it's one of those things. Like, I just think Gonzaga fans end up letting that negativity get in, and then they just repeat it, and they're like, yeah, you're right. Like, and then obviously in games like what happened against UConn, it doesn't help.
Yeah, the narrative.
The narrative. But we still made it to Elite Eight. We still did. And UConn dismantled every team that they played in the tournament.
Every single team.
Yeah.
Every team was a bad matchup for UConn.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, like I said, overall great season. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Really proud. Like, if you're coming into this year and like some of the Gonzaga fans need to be honest with themselves, are they really sitting here going, we're going to go to the Elite Eight this year? They're probably been like, we're probably going to get bounced in the second round. Like, I don't know, some people thought that. Mm-hmm. And some people said that to me, and I was always like, hey, man, we're not as elite with, you know, four first-round NBA players or, like, five NBA players on the roster, but these are also guys that are coming into their own, are going to improve as the season progresses. Mm-hmm. Exactly what they did. So I was like, just the verdict's not out. Like, just calm down early here. Like, there's no reason for us to lose our minds. But, you know, I thought they did a great job of, you know, taking care of business in the first two games. I thought that TCU matchup was really difficult for them. And they passed that test. And then the UCLA game was one of the all-time classics with, you know, Julian Strother making that deep three. And we really like that matchup as a program, not just because of the history, just like personnel-wise, it's really good for us. So like going into that game, I felt just, you could feel the confidence with our staff and the players that, you know, we've seen them enough. We know all of their, you know, kind of actions. Obviously, it's going to be a tough out, but like, we feel like we're a better team. Mm-hmm. And that basically proved all but a last minute and a half, right?
Right.
So we controlled that basketball game, and Julian Strother, one of the all time, like, great tournament shots of all time.
Yeah.
32 footer with a hand in his face, you know, down two or whatever it was, right? Down two.
Down two, yeah.
And buries a three, and,
what did you think of the shot? Like, what were your thoughts?
So on the radio, I was like, we were in the double bonus, I believe, or in the bonus for sure, but I think we were at 10. That play is a good play to look for shot, but then rip and drive and put the onus on the officials to foul. Mm. We had like 12 seconds left.
Yeah.
I believe when he first picked the ball up, so by the time he shot it, there were seven. So we could have got it to four, and then if you miss, you get a chance to foul, or you put the onus on the officials, like I said, and go to the free throw line.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to remember, he did that against BYU and won the game.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't at the buzzer, same similar thing, but they did the same exact play against BYU. So we've seen it before. In reality, like, basketball-wise, it's probably not a great shot, but also, we hammered them on the glass. I think we were a plus 25. It was a wild number.
Yeah.
It really was like a wild rebounding disparity. And that goes in your mind too, as well as like, well, if we get this shot in rhythm, that's not really a terrible shot.
Mm-hmm.
Go get it off the glass and try to just put it in. So
yeah.
In theory, it's not a good shot. I'm glad it went in, obviously, but crazy atmosphere, crazy game. Like, it's just up and down emotionally. And mm-hmm. you know, for me personally, I'd sit there and go, fuck, we gotta listen to this shit again, man. And I know people are going to call me and bring it up, and I'm going to have to go on radio shows and,
yeah,
you know, or I don't have to, but like, whatever.
Yeah.
So then he makes that. I'm like, sweet. Now they can stop talking about it maybe a little bit. And I say that not in a, like, you know, if you asked me 10 years ago, I'd be embarrassed to talk about it, but I don't really care. Like, mm-hmm. my facial expression probably would have changed.
Yeah.
But it's at some point, it's like, can we move on?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll talk about it with people all the time, like around March. Like, mm-hmm. somebody interviews me, some national radio, and I talk about it, fine.
Yeah.
But also, it's like, all right, we've beaten them 3 times in a row.
Yeah.
Like, give credit to these kids and blah, blah. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's where I am after a while. It's like, all right, let's talk about, like, I'm sure UCLA wants to talk about something else too.
For sure, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Their program is pretty good too on the West Coast. They've had some good, they've had some good years recently as well. McCrone mm-hmm. has done a good job. But yeah, so for that, for a personal and selfish reason, I was like, thanks, Julian.
Yeah.
God bless you. You know what I mean? Like, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so it was awesome. But sitting there, you know, we get through the emotion and, whew, you know, everybody's like, fuck, man.
Yeah.
Holy shit. And then you're like, oh, yeah, we got to go play UConn. We just watched them, you know, like 3/4 of the game before. And I'm like, oh, fuck. I'm not even kidding.
Yeah.
That's just because they blew us out. But, like, watching them live was like, holy shit. This looks like a really good, like a NBA team, like as far as their defensive rotations, their length.
Yeah.
How they swallow you up. You know, like when you drive, you're contested, and then even if you get kicks, you're getting a hand in your face, and then they come down and run, like, you know, dribble drive motion stuff with screening, and then they have a guy they can angle basket, Sanogo, you know what I mean? It was just like, holy fuck. And then the Hawkins kid, like if you tag roll on the weak side, he's gonna get a wide open three, other than they pinned away for him, and he's really good at coming off and catching and shooting. It was like, yeah. Not saying we didn't have a chance. I didn't, you know, going into it, I was like, I told people, you know, walking around like, what do you think we got to do? I'm like, we better shoot the fuck out of it. And we didn't shoot the fuck out of it.
Right.
But like, that was going to be step one,
mm-hmm.
really shoot the shit out of the ball. Because you're not going to get much going to the rim. I thought the officiating was poor, and I'm not saying that if Drew doesn't get those early ones, UConn still wins. So I'm going to remove that mm-hmm. thought. Because I hate bitching about officiating as far as, like, losing the game. I think it's a loser mentality. Sometimes it happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I don't think it was this one of the situations. But getting a fourth early, it took the wind out of our sails for any chance to get back in the game in the second half early.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to get to. I thought it was just a poor call. The play didn't affect – the ball went in the basket, so the play didn't affect anybody. I thought Jackson smartly, like, sold it. But the referees should just look at them both as the ball's getting inbound and take your whistle and be like, they do this, but like, stop it, you guys. And then
mm-hmm.
next time out, like, you know, the next media as you're both walking, like, next one of you guys does this, I'm dinging your ass. Would have been fine.
Yeah.
Drew Timmy stays on the floor, and, you know, but when he went out, I was like, oh, we're done.
Yeah.
You know, it just not that he was, you know, other guys couldn't do anything, but he just makes the matchup so much better as far as defensively. Now they could really, you know, climb up into us on the perimeter.
Mm.
But I was just really disappointed in that call. And then, I don't know, it's just some of the actions that these refs allow and then don't allow. You don't know what a clear foul is in college basketball anymore. And that's one of the issues. And they just let guys beat the piss out of each other, and it's not geared for the offense. And I know people don't want to see an NBA game or their jacket shots. I get that aspect of it too. But like, when guys are just beating the fuck out of each other and the score's in the 60s, like, it's not good. It's not a good product.
Right.
To watch.
No,
and
it's not.
So then you're like, so the skill teams get a little bit, you know, disadvantaged, and you get these teams that are just big bruisers. And UConn was not that. If that makes sense, they mm-hmm. had skill and offense, mm-hmm. and they could score. So I'm not saying that. But these refs it's so hard to, like, sometimes watch these games and I'm like, what is this guy thinking? Like, vertical, and he's out of the way. And then it's just bad. It's horrible. And I think that was a perfect example of not having feel for the moment.
Mm.
And I think the better officials should be graded on feel and context, not just every right or wrong call.
Mm.
Like, the context of that game would have been like, all right, I know his arm went up, but the ball went in the basket and they're both kind of like running away from the play. just fucking tell them to stop.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all you have to do is like stop. And like, you could look at Jackson. He didn't act like he got like dinged that hard. It was just like kind of those incidental, like the body language. It's like when a ball gets tipped out of bounds and you don't know which way it is, you can sometimes tell the players kind of give it away. They're like, oh, that was off me. And they start turning the other way.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like the players will tell you kind of what, if that was a dirty play or if that was just a normal basketball. Oops, I accidentally caught you high, but I didn't swing. And you kind of brought your arm into mine. So I was just that when that happened, it was like, fuck, weird.
It took all the air out of the
Exactly. It took all the air out of the sails and was like, all right, what spring chores do I got to start doing? You know, that starts going through your mind. Like, all right, what do I got to do when we get home? Like, I got to clean the garage, you know, like for real, like, all right, the ride's over, guys, no more beer drinking every night and that type of thing. So, but yeah, it was a great, fantastic season, honestly. Like, Elite Eight again, like 8 straight Sweet 16s. Drew Timmy breaks the scoring record, which is a fantastic accomplishment. I thought Julian Strother had a fantastic year. Anton Watson had the most improvement year. I hope he comes back for a fifth. Malachi Smith, I hope he comes back for a fifth as well. You know, so I'm just really proud of these guys and how well they played and how well they you know.
Yeah. As a team, like, I know we talk a lot about players on the show, but like as a team, like where did Gonzaga improve the most over the season?
I think turning the basketball over, remember at the start how bad it was?
Yeah.
Like in those the PK 80 and whatever 85 or whatever it was, and then some of those games when we were in like the 14s to 18s a game and it was fucking terrible. Like you couldn't watch it and it was like so frustrating because that's not just how good basketball players play, but also especially Gonzaga basketball teams or coach few teams is what I'm trying to say. So I think that's the biggest improvement. And then obviously their flow game offensively started to come together, but that's with not turning the basketball over. So I think they're kind of the same. But I think that was the biggest improvement over the course of the season where we were really taking care of the basketball and getting good shots on goal. And, you know, those turn out to be, you know, winning basketball plays. And yeah, it was interesting to at the start of the year, cause it was a lot of, I mean, I knew they'd get that problem solved. How much was the question in my mind? I knew they weren't going to be like 18 turnovers a night. Coach Few, when he would retire, or you'd fucking, you know,
right.
Cut all the players. Not, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, like he just wouldn't let it happen.
He wouldn't let that happen. Yeah.
But like how much could you improve on it was the real question for me. And so I thought our guys did a good job of doing that.
Yeah. When I see the record 31-6, like I feel like if you give us that at the beginning of the season, you take it.
Absolutely.
Like
100%.
And I think it was a historic season for the Zags. It was having Drew back and being able to see him play one last year and do a fourth year, especially in the NCAA where everyone complains about the one and dones. It's nice to see a player come in and be here for 4 years. Mm-hmm. So that was awesome. Where do you think Gonzaga needs to improve next year? I know as the transfer portal and everything, but like, is there a certain area that like you think they just need to get better at?
Well, they're going to have to improve their inside scoring, 22 points a game or whatever is going to leave.
Yeah.
So that interior scoring is going to be a question. I think Nolan Hickman's got to score the basketball more next year. He did a great job of taking care of it. Now he's got to add 10 to 15 points, 16 points a game. I really think he's got to make a jump scoring the basketball.
Yeah.
you know, so it'll be interesting. I mean, I've heard good things about their incoming recruits, but that's always,
you
take it with a grain of salt because who's going to say they're shitty?
Yeah, for sure.
It's like one of those deals where like, you know, that school's got a really good business school. Like when does everybody say like, it's really shitty?
Yeah.
You never hear anything bad about a university.
That's true. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. No,
a really good English department. Like, when does anybody say like their math department fucking sucks or whatever? Nobody ever says that.
No one ever says that. That's so true. I know we don't look at recruits that much. I don't really look at recruits ever either. There's this kid who came in during January, Jun Sae Kyo, the Korean, the South Korean, and I like started watching highlights of him.
First, good. I haven't seen him, but
like he's 6'8", but like in the 2021 FIBA Under 19 tournament, he was a leading scorer of that tournament. He scored 25 points a game, and he had 10 rebounds per game during the tournament. And he looks good. Yeah. Like he looks good. I mean, he was playing the highlights they showed a lot of was him playing against Chet Holmgren. I think he like scored 25 points against the U.S. that game. South Korea got killed by U.S. But I think there are, you know, that's the one thing about Gonzaga. They always are good at recruiting.
Yeah, they always reload.
Yeah.
So that's the beauty of it. We never, knock on wood, never have like rebuilding years, quote unquote. Like they always figure out how to wait at least to get the NCAA tournament. Obviously, Sweet 16s in the last 8 years. So like,
yeah,
that's the beauty of it. So next year, there's going to be a lot of question marks. But I think that's, I mean, it's obvious. They got to replace 22 points a game.
Yeah.
You know, and then if Anton leaves, would he average 12 or something like that? Mm-hmm. So that's 34. Right. And then you go, you know what I'm saying? And then Julian leaves. So like, there's a lot of question marks and there's some that we can't even answer on this show because there's so much time left with transfer portal. Maybe we do a summer update once we kind of know the you know, who's on the roster and who's coming in, then I could give people a better idea. But right now my guess is as good as anybody else. I mean, honestly, it's whatever you're reading on the internet, it's the same info I'm going to be getting because I don't, the transfer portal is so wide open and so early that who knows who's coming in and whatnot. So like I said, it was a great year, 31-6 at the start of the year. Like people were losing their minds when we were 19-5.
That's so true.
Remember when we lost to LMU? I'm like, God,
yep. What the hell? Sky's falling.
Lost at home. You know, it's like, you're right, but also just calm down. LMU played a really good game. I thought they kind of underachieved the back half of their season.
For sure.
Right. So, but, you know, like that happens to younger teams too, or teams with, you know, not as much experience. So anyway.
Yeah. As of now, there have been three current Gonzaga players that are entering the transfer portal, Dom Harris, Efton Reed, and Hunter Salas. Mm-hmm. I'm not surprised by Dom and Efton.
Yeah.
But I guess I'm kind of in by Hunter, but like that seems to be the Zag fans are a little bit upset about that one. But what's your take on that?
Yeah, so you know, first we'll go with Dominic. Makes sense. He hadn't played in 2 years, basically. Had an injury 1 year, so you know maybe he just fell behind the eight ball and couldn't get out of it. And it's hard to crack a rotation when you're not in the rotation, right? And when, especially on winning teams, I've been in that situation before. You know, so good for him. Go play somewhere, even if it's wherever it's at. Just go play, man. Who cares what? If it's Power Five, just go play and enjoy basketball again. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's college basketball. Go enjoy it. Have fun. And then Efton, I totally agree. Like, he was a 5-star recruit. I think he was a McDonald's All-American or one of those guys. In his mind, he has, you know, he's thinking of NBA probably still, and his family probably is. So, like, go somewhere where you're going to get minutes and play. He's also got to improve. Like he's got to be a better decision maker. He's got to be a better shooter. I know that sounds funny, but even bigs today got to be able to make an 18 footer. Like it's just how it is. It's how the game has progressed. And it just, if you can make that shot and then you can rim protect, it just gives you so many more options after your playing careers in college is over, NBA or not, even in Europe, like you make good money in Europe. So I don't blame him at all for leaving. I think he fell out of favor early in the season and just couldn't get out of it. And then Ben Gray kind of stepped up and took that spot and he earned it. So it's just one of those deals where just didn't go his way. So I don't blame it. So Hunter, I wasn't surprised, and that's not just me trying to make myself sound good, but I knew it was probably a 50-50 proposition that he leaves before even the announcement. Like I was thinking that the whole year. And here's why. Okay, so he was top 10 recruit. I think he was number 6 when he came in here. So a lot of hype and a lot of expectation for the young kid.
Mm-hmm.
He was only playing 12 to 18 minutes, whatever that range was, probably 16 a night.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then he wasn't getting very many opportunities when he was playing offensively. Now the counter is that he's not a great shooter and stuff like that. Totally understand that. But if you're his parents and him, you're the number six recruit in the country and you've come off the bench 2 years in a row and averaged 4 points, it's time to move on. They're probably thinking NBA as well. Now, the counter to that is you're going to play a shit ton next year. They probably said that last year, right?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, it doesn't – and I'm not inferring that they lied to him, but mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? The lineups worked out the way they did.
Yeah.
And it's not like Coach Few has favorites on purpose. The players decide who plays. And mm-hmm. I know people think that's a weird concept or you really got to think of it, but, the players decide who plays in practice. The coach is always going to play the guys who are going to make the most impact,
mm-hmm.
especially Coach Few.
Yeah.
So my point is, him deciding somewhere else to get more of an opportunity didn't surprise me at all. So and it sucks. I thought he's a great player, great kid. I've never heard anything bad about him. He's really quiet.
Mm-hmm.
But he had some really impactful games, and he – showed a lot more improvement on the shooting, scoring wise, like I mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're being fair, and I try to be non-biased on the show, he averaged 4 points a game.
Yeah.
So
he had opportunities to score.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Yeah. So I wish him the best. And I hope he has a lot of success. And that's not just BS. Once you're a Zag, you're kind of are for life. There's guys in the program that transferred out that I see every once in a while we still consider Zags. I know that sounds weird to people.
Yeah.
But also, it's just, it didn't work out here, I guess.
Yeah, no, I just, do you, so that the sentiment is then that he might be going to Arizona.
He could be.
I guess I ask, that doesn't surprise anyone either, I would imagine.
No. And I don't think it would be an active recruitment.
Right.
From that program, I think it would just be, oh, you're leaving?
Right.
I recruited you and I know you and I can use you here. But also the counter that, they pretty much run obviously the same stuff, similar style.
For sure, yeah.
So why would you, if the style is the problem, and I don't know.
Yeah.
Then why would you go somewhere the style? But Arizona is Gonzaga style. And Tommy Lloyd style is a perimeter, obviously good bigs, but it's perimeter oriented as well. So I didn't even think of that connection right there, to be honest. That kind of made me wheels turn a little bit up top. But I hope the best for him. But like I said, the expectations coming in were he's top 10 recruit. And then if you're his parents, you're probably why is my son playing? And then at some point you're going to make a change. Decided to make a change.
And he's probably looking at who's coming in too and who he has to compete with. Yeah. And I'm sure that plays a lot into it. And I don't really know everyone that's coming in. I know we have a couple of good guards that are coming in, but that has to play in the back of your mind. You can't assume that you're going to play next year and then not play again. In his case.
Yeah.
So.
No, there's exactly. And again, it's the same thing I said with Dom Harris, go where you can play.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just go to like I said, a power five just to fucking go there or whatever. Go to a program where they're going to be yes, we want you on the floor for 25 minutes a night.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to be allowed to shoot 8 to 12 jumpers. But you still got to get better. But you're going to have a chance to kind of get where mm-hmm. you can get going. Well, if that means you have to go to a smaller conference, fucking go there. The NBA doesn't care.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
For sure.
Just go there. And so that's the biggest hope our biggest unsolicited advice I'd give these guys. And I give it to high school kids that are getting recruited. Go where you can play. That's the biggest thing you can
mm-hmm.
always take out of any recruitment process. Don't punch above your weight class. I love betting on yourself. That's not what I'm saying, but go where you can play.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, that's smart. I guess The biggest question I have, and I know about Drew Timmy and him going into the NBA. When he announced this, and this, something me and my friends kind of shared with each other is in his announcement, he said, this will be my last year at Gonzaga. He didn't say anything about intentions of going into the draft. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he's going to, you know, make a charge for that. Is there anywhere in your mind that thinks he might just transfer to a fifth year and play some, like, play closer to home?
That I didn't even think of that either. It's a wild concept. I think he'd be upfront about that, though, if he was going to plan on doing that. But that's a I don't know if he'd call it a conspiracy theory, but that's a
good, it's kind of conspiracy.
Yeah, it's a theory. Yeah, I don't know. I'm befuddled right now. I don't know how to answer that because he can do that, and yeah, maybe he wants to go play close to home, but also like his parents have been to a lot of the games.
Yeah.
So I don't think that there's a starvation for that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just, again, this is just me, you know, hypothesizing. I think he's done with just college basketball in general. And
yeah.
He wants to move on with his life. But yeah, that's wild. I didn't even think of the graduate transfer part or whatever.
I just think about the NIL and like how, like, if
it's true,
if he can still get NIL in Spokane too. He's always going to be a name here. So yeah. It's not like he's giving up that if he's not at Gonzaga next year.
That's a good point, man. That's crazy to think. Nobody's floated that though.
I feel like it should have been.
I know. That's why it's, I'm like, taken aback because that's a really good, I didn't even think of that because he didn't say that technically, but
yeah,
just my best guess is he's done with college basketball, but
yeah,
watch, it'd be funny in like 3 weeks he's in a Texas uniform with him.
Right,
it'd be kind of funny.
Yeah. So outside of the Gonzaga season, I know you follow women's basketball because mm-hmm. your daughters play, and the Iowa LSU finals was like had a 9.8 rating.
Yep.
It was biggest watched women's basketball game of all time, I think. One of them, at least.
I think it was. Yeah.
What was your takeaway from Angel Reese going up to Caitlin Clark?
I don't know. I mean, I to be honest, I couldn't watch the game because it was during one of my daughter's games. We had a tournament in Las Vegas. We were playing at the same time. I thought I'll get to it, but I thought the time slot was weird.
Yeah, no, that was the biggest complaint about it. It was
I didn't understand.
12:30.
Yeah, I'm like that time slot didn't make any sense. And it's a Sunday. Obviously, there's not football on. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, and there was no like Masters isn't on, so you're competing with that. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, it should have been like 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern or whatever.
Yeah.
It just was a weird time slot.
Yeah.
I've seen the replays of it. I think the context needs to be shown completely, like from a wider angle. Mm-hmm. Like, was Caitlin Clark? I don't get where the problem is with both of them because they were in two different games.
Yeah.
So like when Caitlin Clark was doing it, she was doing it in the South Carolina game.
Yeah.
And apparently she was doing it towards her bench, but it's a close angle.
Yeah.
So you don't know who she's doing it towards. And then the Angel Reese is doing it towards her, but they just won. So it's like, I don't know. I think I don't like the undertones of it, to be honest.
For sure.
I think it's a, how do I put this? A Magic versus Bird thing, but you know what I'm saying? And I think everybody's trying to clickbait that. And
for sure.
After a while, it's like, all right, let's just celebrate these two fantastic teams, great players that had great seasons, and people watched, you know, women's hoops at a higher level than they ever have. Like, let's celebrate that. And like, now we're trying to do this. This person can say it, but this person can't. And you just look at the comments, and it's just so back and forth. Everybody go to your corner and fucking argue, say the same thing over and over again. I didn't have a problem with it. Trash talk happens.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
I think it probably, man.
It's
one of those things. I mean, I imagine it. I mean, I didn't watch it either. I just saw it happen, and I was like, I wonder.
You got to get the
context. You got to get the context.
You got to get the wide angle.
Yeah.
I know that sounds funny, but like the Caitlin Clark one was like, who? Because they kept, people were like, well, she did it in South Carolina. I'm like, well, who is she pointing it to? But no, I could never see the wide angle
for
of it.
For sure.
But then Angel Reese, that's her game, is talking shit.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like that's what she does. And so like, I don't know. I don't know. Like I said, it's trying to turn into a Magic versus Bird thing in a negative way.
In a negative way. Yeah.
In a negative way.
I guess that's what kind of is, I don't like about it. And I think what's interesting about this whole thing, though, is that it, I mean, Angel Reese is a sophomore and Caitlin Clark's a junior, and
they got to come back
and they got to come and they're, and you've said this on the, I think you've said this on the show, is like women leaving for the WNBA is not, it's not really a thing that happens much.
Mm-hmm.
And now with NIL, it definitely probably won't happen.
Yeah.
And I'm interested to see that history play out again.
They should have a series and they should play next year.
Yeah.
Like the women's game has gotten so much more more love, and rightfully so, because it's gotten more skilled. Don't take that in the back bad way, but like if you look at the growth from 80s, 90s, this isn't every sport, but like 80s, 90s, like if you look at women's basketball now, like it's so much more skilled, it's so much more enjoyable product to watch. And then like Caitlin Clark is like part of the reason people tuned in, because she looks like Steph Curry, man.
Yeah,
I mean it's unbelievable how, like, the type of shot she gets, and then how unselfish she really is as well, and like scoring at that clip, and then obviously LSU with, I was just surprised they never won a national championship, honestly. Like, 'cause I knew they were a powerhouse at one time in women's basketball, but I was like, they never won a national championship, like, honestly. And then obviously the first one, so hats off to them. And I don't know how the fuck, though, like, forgetting a women's basketball, how are they a three seed?
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? I was sitting there, and the record was like 30 and like two going into the tournament or something crazy.
Yeah.
Like, how the fuck is this team a three seed? Like, that's the travesty part.
Yeah.
But it, I don't know. It's different in women's basketball, the tournament. I think the top, don't hammer me in the comments if I'm, but like the first two rounds are played at the one seed's home court.
Yeah.
So it's different.
Yeah, they
in that regard. They seed it
a lot differently.
Yeah, they seed it differently. And I think it's smart. They play in, you know, home courts, and it creates more buzz. And there should be, you know, more people at game instead of neutral. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I think it's the right thing to do. Obviously, they know the analytics and the metrics for that. That's why they're doing it.
Yeah.
But, again, I didn't have a problem with either of them, like,
yeah,
honestly. And that's not me trying to avoid the issue. It's like people talk shit in basketball all the time, but now we're making it something that I don't think they intended it to be. Now everybody's weighing in on,
yeah,
trying to make it a social issue. It's like, just, it's two fucking great girls, basketball players, talking shit to each other, over and done with. Both great teams.
Yeah,
good job. Yay, LSU.
Happens in the NBA all the time, NCAA, happens in the men's NCAA. The
girls basketball is no different, man.
For sure.
They're competitive. They play their asses off, and they talk shit to each other, and they just caught one on TV.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, it's no different. I mean, it literally is no different. The girls, like I said, we play in games, and I know this is a lower level, but in AAU, like, we've had girls talk shit. We've had technicals, intentional fouls. Like, girls play their ass off too.
Yeah.
So, and sometimes cooler heads don't prevail, and whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I'm trying to say? So,
for sure.
You got anything else?
No, that's pretty much it. I just wanted to get your final thoughts on the season. I know we kind of had them, but like, what do you want? Why don't you leave us what your final thoughts?
Obviously, great season. Looking forward to next year in the sense of a lot of new faces, and I think it's kind of more fun that way, because then you get to see the team gel together and all those cliches, but it's more fun that way. I thought this is one of the best seasons of all time as far as a fan or viewer. We didn't have a lot of 30-point blowouts.
That's true. Yeah.
Okay, so, like, you know, everybody complains about those, and rightfully so, but we had a lot of closer games, and I thought that was more fun to call, more fun to watch, more fun to talk about. You know, we got to witness history with Drew Timmy breaking the all-time record, which I don't think a lot of people thought that record would be broken. We saw an end of an unbelievable home winning streak, you know, so there are a lot of historic things happened this year.
For sure.
Eight straight Sweet 16s. I think it's 5 out of 8 last season's in the Elite Eight or something, like 6 out of 8.
Yeah.
Just really happy for this group and for these guys and to be a part of it, as a radio broadcaster, like, honestly, like, it's fun. Like I said, I get more enjoyment of watching teams gel together and get better as the season progresses. I know that sounds so cliche, but there's mystery to it,
mm-hmm.
behind it. Yeah. So I like that part of it. And I thought this year was no different. And hopefully some of those guys that got a fifth year, like Anton and Malachi, in my opinion, come back and have more good seasons like they did last year and mm-hmm. improve on that. And so I'm just really looking forward to next year, but you couldn't ask for a better group of guys and better season. I mean, 31-6 Elite Eight and lost to the national champion, eventual national champion.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, fuck, that's a pretty good year. So all in all, I appreciate all the fans listening to our show. You guys keep it alive, obviously, tuning in. We will be back next year with the third season. We're going to do similar style, recaps. I think people like to listen to that, you know, what my thoughts are on the games, and it makes sense for us to not have to pull people's teeth to do interviews or just time. It's not pulling teeth. It's the time and getting them in. And then we don't like to do Zoom interviews. That's part of it. We could do more of those if we have to in a pinch, but I just think that it's hard to get the feel of how people are reacting to your questions. And I kind of go off of that.
Yeah.
So look forward to us next season. We'll start right around the same time we did last year and, talk about Gonzaga basketball, and we'll still have interviews like we've had in the past, like we did with Drew this year, and we'll get some more ex-Gonzaga players in here and talk about hoops in general. And but I thought it was great. The new concept, I thought, went well, and I'm glad people listened. Again, thank you to all of our sponsors for helping us make this happen, and the listeners, and make sure you tune in next year.